Hi, and welcome to TalkWord.
I'm Marty Dundix, editor-in-chief of Weekly Humorous Magazine, and this is TalkWord, which is a fun little show where professionally funny people come in and tell awkward stories that have happened to them throughout their incredibly awkward lives. Today, my guest is John Bailey.
Hello!
John is a comedy writer, comedy performer, sci-fi nerd.
In that order, yeah.
Did I check all the right boxes there?
Mm-hmm. I think that's all of them. That's me in a nutshell. Yeah.
That'd be quite a nutshell.
Mm-hmm. It's a fantastical sci-fi nutshell.
Well, welcome to the show, John Daly.
Thanks for coming. It's a pleasure to be here. Pleasure.
This is fun. I finally got you to come into the city. getting you to leave Long Island is like, I can't even think of a joke of something that's like getting someone, it's like getting a, who's the person, what's the person that doesn't leave the house?
Agoraphobic.
It's like getting an agoraphobic to leave the house.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like.
Yeah, well, it's tough because it's a big-ass train. Ooh, didn't want to cuss. Damn it. I already did that. But yeah, it's like an hour and a half, and then you have to come back. It's another hour and a half. It's kind of a pain, but I'm glad to be here now. I'm glad we finally, the stars aligned, and we're doing it.
A lot of comedy writers don't like leaving the house, seems like. I don't know. I feel like this is a freelance lifestyle for a lot of like writers.
Yeah.
You just kind of sit. You just sit with your laptop and you just talk to yourself or pets.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any pets?
I do. I have a lovely Shih Tzu, just turned 12 years old.
That's an old Shih Tzu.
It is an old Shih Tzu, but I'll tell you what, he is lively and sprightly.
What's the name of this 12-year-old Shih Tzu?
His name is Harley.
Really?
Yeah.
That's adorable.
I basically adopted him. I'm like the foster dad, I guess. It was my current wife. My current wife, Kristen, she'll appreciate being called that. The first Mrs. Daly, it's her dog. She's had the dog forever, the whole time. And then I married into it. And he's great.
You
I
married into happier. The family. That's good.
Mm-hmm. He's basically my dog now, essentially.
Do
he
you
loves me the best.
Do you do all the walking and the cleaning ups?
I do.
The feeding?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I basically do all that. I mean, I'm at home all the time, so I might as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
I'm surprised you didn't bring the Shih Tzu here to the studio in a bag or something.
I didn't know it was an option.
Oh, this is a dog-friendly building.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
You would have loved it.
There's a couple of dogs that are almost always on this floor. I think we have dogs on every floor, but there's some really cute dogs just on this floor. They're all small to medium. Like they were all bag dogs. Dogs you could shove in a bag.
Mm-hmm.
There's one named Henry around the corner that snorts. He is a French bulldog.
Aww.
Who just like in like the front they have like that squished up face.
Mm-hmm.
He's got an attitude. And then there's I don't know what this other dog is around the corner. It looks like a doll. It looks like a little like stuffed animal dog, but apparently it's really old. These small dogs are old. Like your dog is old.
Mm-hmm.
These small dogs can live a lot longer because they're so small. Is that right?
Yeah, that sounds right to me.
There's like less weight for them to carry around.
Yeah, that sounds
less
good.
Less moving parts that could break, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm not a dogologist, Marty. I don't know. Is that why you invited me on the show?
I thought
I was my veterinary background?
I have this dog here that I thought you could take a look at.
Yeah, the smaller the dog. So if we ever managed to breed a dog that was 6 inches long, it could live 50 years.
At least.
Yeah.
It's like those turtles. They're very big, but they live a long time
mm-hmm.
because of the cold water.
We're throwing cold water. All right, so if we kept a dog in cold
water.
So
if we kept a tiny dog in cold water for its entire life, it could be like 1,000 years old.
Yeah. I think this is, if science hasn't done this already, then what have we been doing?
I don't know. We've been trying to cure hair loss, which hasn't been working, but we've definitely cured erectile dysfunction. Well, cure is a stretch.
We have the treatment.
We just make things just hard forever. I don't think that's a good.
You don't want to hard on like 100% of the time, though.
We've gotten off
topic. Or maybe
topic.
You do. Yeah. I was going to say about bringing my dog here. I've been gun-shy about bringing the dog places. My mother-in-law was like, yeah, I took the dog to Stop and Shop, the supermarket around the corner, and mm-hmm. they were totally fine with it or whatever. And we're like, really? And then we took the dog to Stop and Shop, and like a minute in, someone
Excuse
came
me.
Up. You cannot do that. What are you doing? You can't have a dog where we're selling food. Of course not. I'm like,
this is
oh,
madness.
Yeah.
Why would you think this is okay?
I'm like, someone told me.
Probably because your mother-in-law is a little bit older.
Mm-hmm.
And they saw her with a little dog, and they just figured, well, why rock the boat? We don't want to upset her. Mm-hmm. She seems like a nice lady. But they take a look at you. They're like, no, this isn't going to happen. We're not letting this dude, this little shih tzu in here. And then you could just lie and say it's a therapy dog.
That's the other thing. They're really pushing hard to get this dog to be a therapy dog, quote unquote.
It's Can't you buy that stuff on the internet? Like the little outfit?
I feel like I don't want to be part of the problem. People bringing peacocks on the plane?
Yeah. That was a really funny video, seeing a woman with a peacock.
Mm-hmm. And that lady got her gerbil flushed down the toilet?
Yeah. That was not... It's a gerbil. Couldn't she have just put it in her pocket? Or... I don't know. You can Richard Gere it, I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
And then I think it's funny because people... If I was trying to be an illegitimate therapy dog owner, people buy the... There's a little outfit. With like a badge or something. It's like the dog. It's like the dog becomes a crossing guard.
Mm-hmm.
But that it'd be more fun if you bought like a dog Halloween costume that looked like a police officer.
Okay.
And then you tried to pass that off as a therapy dog, like outfit.
Yeah.
I would try that. That I would say that would be worth it. Like, don't try to get a fake therapy dog outfit. Get the dog like a Halloween costume and try to pass that off as a therapy dog outfit.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's more legit.
Yeah.
So you're going to argue with this? My dog's wearing, like, he's got, like, a colonel in the army outfit
on. Yeah, he outranks you.
Exactly. Look at the amount of stars on. This is a general, for God's sakes. Show some respect.
Yeah. I hope he doesn't report you for this. I'd hate for you to have to lose your job.
Just thank him for his service. We're going into the supermarket.
Yeah. I'm going to have him sneeze on all the avocados.
He also just went. He just also took a tinkle.
Yeah, he has no respect for anything.
Which is also his name, Major Tinkle. So you're a comedy writer person, and you've been writing comedy. You went to Ball State.
Go Cards.
And you moved to the New York City.
Yes.
And where was the first place that you wrote comedy?
The first place I wrote comedy was I worked at the Late Show. In a very, very minor capacity, but they let me... Actually, my good friend and friend of the show, Kevin McCaffrey, was already working for The Late Show, and he was writing monologue jokes. And he let me write monologue jokes, and then he would turn them in under his name, and if they got on, he would give me the money that that joke would earn. And then eventually, I was able to submit my own jokes.
He was like, you know these jokes you liked so much? And the guy was like, yeah. Well, those were John Daly's jokes.
Yeah, you got tricked.
And then the guy was like, you committed fraud. I know what you were trying to do, but actually it backfired.
Yeah, that's why Kevin's in prison right now. I hope he's listening.
Sorry, Kev.
But thanks. Yeah.
And did you keep your cue cards with your jokes on them?
I kept them for a little bit. I don't like to keep stuff. A lot, you know what I mean?
Not sentimental?
No, not really. If it can fit in like a shoebox. I have like a shoebox where I keep my sentimental things.
So if it's going to be important to you, it has to be at least the size of a quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I think I have two shoeboxes now. I've acquired enough sentimental things to warrant two shoeboxes.
Or you would just have two pairs of shoes.
Oh, man. I've been wasting my life.
Yeah.
That's valuable space.
Yeah. So the, oh, can you remember what your first joke was? You wrote for Letterman?
Oh my gosh. I think it was, it was like 2006? It was the FIFA championship was happening.
Okay.
And it was right after the Miss Universe controversy. Oh no, the Miss Universe was happening. And in FIFA, the French player had headbutted a Spanish player. Okay. I think. And so I made a joke about how.
Do you remember what it was?
Well, I had to say, I mean, the context is everything, right?
Cause, yeah.
But it was like, there was a controversy during the Miss Universe pageant when Miss France headbutted Miss Spain or something.
Oh, yeah,
exactly.
It's pretty good. But,
mm-hmm.
And he did the thing and Letterman made a joke.
Probably put his hand on his pocket.
Yeah.
Like so. And, maybe ringed his collar out a little bit.
That's exciting. So as a comedy writer, having someone like Letterman tell your joke on national television. Mm-hmm. Was that just like the biggest? Did you watch? Did you tape it? Did you go crazy?
I didn't tape it. Man, I should have. Where were you? Where were you then, Marty?
Just, you know, it's a VCR. I guess back it's VCR. They didn't have DV. Did they have DVRs? Did they have TV? I think they had TiVo.
It was a weird time when like VCRs were already out, but DVRs hadn't quite been universally adopted.
Yeah.
I think people had just like said enough with the VCRs. They were just done with them.
I used to love taping things with my VCR. I used to tape TV all the time, and then I would watch that same tape over and over again.
What was that tape?
I would tape, now this is like 2000, 2001, and I had a little, I had a similar office to this. I was doing illustration for newspapers and magazines.
Mm-hmm.
So I had like a little office. I was totally isolated, and I had one of those television VCR combos.
Oh, yeah.
You know? It was like a mini tube TV. It was like maybe like 13 inches, had the VCR built into it. And I would record a bunch of television, and then I would watch those shows over and over again. So it would be like Family Guy. I remember taping the first couple episodes of 24.
Nice.
And I would just loop them. So I would put on this stuff in the background, and I would just keep, and I would be painting or whatever, and I would just have TV on. But this was before you were able to watch things on demand on your computer or whatever. So mm-hmm. I kind of did an early version of that, was just taping and retaping and retaping television on like a single VHS until it had so many weird lines on it you couldn't use the tape anymore and throw it away and you get a new tape. But I would do that a ton. I remember I would totally just record funny shows and just rewatch them all the time. Now I just watch Cozy TV and I watch reruns of Murder, She Wrote.
Murder, She Wrote. I mean, there's no shame in that. Murder, She Wrote's
a great show. It's a great background TV show.
It's, yeah. Angela Fletcher.
Jessica Fletcher. It's not just one person. They're two separate identities, mm-hmm. John.
Sheriff Amos, he's great.
Oh, yeah.
The guy, remember when he was almost replaced with the guy who played Gomez from mm-hmm. Adam's Family?
Yeah.
And then, like, it turns out that that guy, like, killed someone.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
But that was crazy. It was like he was almost a main character.
Everybody kills people on that show.
Do you think Jessica killed anyone?
That'd be a really great, post that show's run, visiting it again, because Angela Lansbury's still alive. So let's say we do a reboot, because they just rebooted Roseanne, mm-hmm. and we do a TV special of Murder, She Wrote, and she's the one who killed
everyone.
She makes the perfect crime.
Yeah, because she knows, she right? writes the book, she would know how to frame someone. Absolutely.
Like, maybe she frames Metzger, or she frames Seth Hazlitt, the doctor friend of hers.
They hooked up, though.
They never talk about it. They never show any sort they of flirtatiousness. Do. I don't know.
It's flirtatious, though.
It's definitely, it is flirtatious. Yeah.
But they never, like, touch.
Right, never.
On screen,
anyway. Yeah. So, anyway, if anybody wants to kill some time on Saturday afternoons, Cozy TV shows Murder, She Wrote from 1 p.m. till 4 p.m.
Cozy TV,
It's C-O-Z-I.
Okay.
It's owned by NBC.
That's on cable. You can watch it if you have cable.
You can watch it on cable. And what I've actually recently done, this happened yesterday, the day before yesterday. If you don't pay your cable bill.
All right.
If you don't pay your cable bill or your internet bill, there's different utilities that deal with you not paying your bill different ways. Mm-hmm. Right. So if you don't pay your National Grid gas bill, which is usually about $11 a month. People's gas bill is pretty low in New York City apartments because you're pretty much only using the gas for if you have a gas range or a oven.
A lot of people don't even pay gas. That comes with the apartment normally, doesn't it?
Usually it's like heat and hot water comes with the apartment, but if you're going to pay gas for your kitchen use, you have a National Grid bill. Now, this is so low, I let it go till about, I owe them $90,
mm-hmm.
which could be like 8 months I don't pay this bill, and they don't really care until it gets to be about $80, and then you get mm-hmm. a call, and you open up your little account, and I pay, $89 or whatever it is, and then we're fine. Other utilities don't like it when you don't pay them every month, and they just turn you off, and then you pay them on the app, and then they immediately turn you back on. Like, turning your system off is so easy that they do it, and it motivates you to pay them.
Sure.
And then they turn it back on. Other things like Con Ed, like if you don't, if you're electric, for them to turn off your Con Ed, they have to come to your apartment. They have to go into the basement. They have to, like, turn off all these fuses. It's not just, like, a button they can push.
Right.
So for the Time Warner, they actually can turn it off, and you can. So I don't like paying for the Time Warner because I don't use it, and I think I'm paying too much, and I don't want the TV channels that they kind of screwed me and forced me into getting a package that I didn't want.
I would love to hear that conversation that you how they forced you into.
Well, I was paying one amount for I just wanted Wi-Fi, and they gave me a good deal on just Wi-Fi, and I think I got it for like $35. And then it somehow got raised a little bit because that was a 12-month offer or 6-month offer. And I don't pay attention, but they don't tell you when it's going to go up. So all of a sudden you're paying your bill, and all of a sudden it's like 80-something with taxes. Oh, and then I ended up being, well, if you do this, we're going to give you all these channels for a limited time, and you're going to be paying less than that. And then that month, 6 months of things have worn out. And all of a sudden my bill was like $140. It ballooned. And it angered me. And I just decided to unplug it. They turned off the internet, and I just unplugged my modem, and I unplugged the box, and I got a digital tuner from Duane Reade. I watched.
Oh, so you can watch broadcasts.
And you can, it found like 50 channels.
Oh, okay.
And they're HD, and they're great. And I don't have DVR, and I don't care, and I'm not home enough for it to matter. So I was able to watch, I can get Cozy TV. And I can get CBS, and all I do is watch CBS This Morning in the morning, and then I go to work. So I'm not there all day. Why am I paying for all this Wi-Fi? No one's using it. So I'm just going to go. I'm going to officially cut the cord. I do have to tell them that I'm not going to pay them. I have to call them and make that official.
So you're not going to square up with them?
No, I'm going to square. I have to. I guess I'm going to have to square up with them. I have to take back all this equipment.
Oh my God.
So I have to pay them. I guess whatever I owe them, and then we're not going to have to do this anymore.
Let them come and get it. Pry it from your cold dead hands.
I know, right? I have all this junk. I have these, and they charge you for the box, and they charge you for the remote control. I have to rent the remote control. I'm taking the batteries, though.
Oh my God,
those I'm keeping.
That's one for the working man, Marty.
Absolutely.
What? So you don't have internet? You don't currently have internet in your apartment?
No, but I pay so much for the stupid AT&T phone. I can use this as a Wi-Fi hotspot.
Exactly. Yeah. Interesting. All right.
Like, I don't want to... And the phone screws... I mean, I could go on and on about how this is way too much, too. I'm paying
Old
way...
Old man Marty's!
I don't want everything to cost me $20 a month. Mm-hmm. I don't want all these bills. But if I'm going to have to pick one thing, I guess I'll pick the AT&T bill to be too high, because I can use this for Wi-Fi, so that's fine.
Yeah. It really is a... I do that all the time, like on the train or whatever.
Yeah. Too. Wi-Fi hotspot. It's great.
Yeah. It's very easy.
Sorry, I went on my tangent about cable companies. No. What TV do you like to watch, John?
What TV do I like to watch? Like, as a comfort thing, or as like a... Like, what have I just... I just finished watching Community for the first time.
What's not comfortable to watch on TV?
Well, no. Like,
so you have a... You know, you like to watch comfort TV, and then you like to watch TV that's like a workout?
Yeah, with a...
Like a brain workout? Like a comedy brain workout?
Some of that's where it's like a little bit of a chore to watch or something, where it's like, I have to finish watching this or whatever.
Like The Handmaid's Tale?
Yeah, see, I haven't watched that.
Me either.
Because it's like...
It seems like too much.
I don't watch it.
Right. And everybody tells me how wonderful it is and how amazing, and it's such great writing and acting. And I agree with that. It's probably all those things because it looks really spectacular. Mm-hmm. It just... I think I watched the first episode where she's getting chased through the woods with her child, and it just seemed really sad. So I just opted not to watch it.
Mm-hmm. You know? I did read the Wikipedia summary for the book, so I feel like...
I feel like you're done.
Yeah, I got it.
You're done.
I like Game of Thrones. That's not on TV for another couple years, I guess. I just watched Community. Last Man on Earth is a good sitcom.
I love Last Man on Earth, though. He can kind of get grating on it. Like the character, Tandy. Tandy can get a little grating, and his wife can get a little grating. Like, I like them, but sometimes they're so over-the-top stupid, doing over-the-top stupid things, that you kind of are like, oh, God, come on. But, I mean, it's necessary for the overarching story to work out that he was so incompetent.
I love MacGruber, too, the movie MacGruber.
Yeah.
So, like, Will Forte.
Will Forte is so talented.
Pass for me. Yeah. Absolutely. So, gosh, there was just thinking of another one. I watch TV all the freaking time.
Yeah,
so.
Me too. I love TV.
TV's the best. Columbo?
I love Columbo. Are you kidding me? Oh, I love Columbo. Also on Cozy TV.
I know, right? Is a Cozy TV basically just anything where a likable detective solves crimes?
Yeah, I like any sort of a detective type show. I'm a detective. Like, I always wanted to be a beloved television detective.
I think you pull it off.
I think I could do that. I'm a huge fan of Castle. I can't believe they canceled Castle. It's because they
That was on for like 10 years, wasn't it?
I love Castle. But now you can't watch it. It's not on reruns. It's not on demand on any app. Like, no one owns the rights to Castle. Like, ABC owns it. They don't have it anywhere. It infuriates me.
Give it a year.
I love Psych.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Psych. Psych is so clever.
Chris and I have been watching Monk. And we've gotten to the Natalie years, and we're not as hot on Natalie.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking about maybe we should jump ship, go to Psych. Maybe she
Natalie's the second assistant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're Biddy Schramm people all the way.
That guy, what's his name?
Tony Shalhoub.
Tony Shalhoub. He's so talented.
He's great.
Because you see him in other things where it's not him playing Monk, and he's playing more like a serious role. He's so versatile.
Have you seen Quick Change with Bill Murray and Gina Davis? And Randy Quaid?
Forever ago.
Yeah, he's in
with
that.
The clown?
He's
like
Yeah. He's in it. He's a cab driver, and he speaks only in gibberish, like a foreign gibberish, because he's a cab driver.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful. It's really good.
Well, I mean, you could go back to Wings on NBC, and that was like his first role. And all those people on, it's funny, all the people on Wings, except for the woman, I can't remember her name.
Crystal Bernard?
Is that who it was?
Listeners, call in if it's not Crystal Bernard.
We're actually broadcasting this live, but no one knows about it because I didn't tell anybody.
Is there a phone? Is there a phone? No.
People could call my cell phone. I need to work on that.
Marty, say your cell phone number on the internet, please.
It's 1-999-GO-MARTY. It's not true.
I can't believe Go Marty was still available.
Yeah, I know, right? I've had it since high school. No, I didn't. What was Crystal Bernard in other than Wings?
Oh, I have no idea. I can't believe I remember her name either.
Me either.
I think. But yeah, the guy, Lowell, the guy who was in Sideways.
Yeah, Lowell's huge.
He was like the breakaway star.
Thomas Hayden Church.
Thomas Hayden Church.
And then Stephen
Weber.
Weber. Mm-hmm. And then Tim Daly.
Tim Daly, my man.
I mean, they all are on stuff still. They're
What's
all
Tim
doing
Daly
stuff.
What's Tim Daly doing these days?
He's on Madam Secretary. He plays her husband.
Wow, The First Gentleman? No, that's not it. No. I don't watch the show.
You don't watch enough CBS.
I don't. You know what I've been into?
You got to watch NCIS. You got to watch NCIS New Orleans.
Okay.
You got to watch NCIS LA. You got to. There's so many NCIS.
I'm 100 years old. I'm watching all the CBS stuff.
I'm watching all the NCISs.
Scott Bakula won, maybe, because I'm a Bakula boy.
You know, he has a terrible New Orleans accent in that show. But I am happy that Scott Bakula is still working. I was a huge Quantum Leap fan.
Quantum Leap's the best.
Great show.
When's that going to get a reboot?
If any of these shows deserves a reboot, Quantum Leap deserves a reboot.
What a wonderful, like, you know, episode of the week sort of thing where it's like there's not an overarching story. It could be a different thing every week.
Yeah.
And it's wildly different every time and thoroughly enjoyable every time.
And he could, I mean, he... There's still so many different social things happening here, social change, where he could be in the body of, like, a woman, at like, the Woman's March. You know, he's seeing it from another perspective. He all of a sudden gets Jared Kushner's body, and all of a sudden he's an idiot. You know, he's just, why is everyone talking to me so slow? Like I'm a dum-dum. This is making me uncomfortable.
Well, he'd be like jumping into like the historical things of the last like 20 or 30 years, right? So he'd be in like Occupy Wall Street.
Right.
He'd be in other things.
Wow.
Like, good pull. What other history things have there been? 9/11, probably?
Yeah, there could be something like that. Wow, yeah.
Yeah, that was a historical thing that happened.
Yep.
And others. Too many to go into, certainly.
Tons of things have happened.
Tons of things.
You know? So, yeah. Quantum Leap. Come on, guys. Make that happen.
We
should start. I'm sure that there's already, like, a change.org petition for that.
Are they still doing that?
I know that I signed a change.org petition to bring Murder, She Wrote back to Netflix.
It's good.
Because, for some reason, on January 1st, of 2018, it disappeared because the license ran out of whatever they were, and it was gone. And I had to find it online to watch. It made me really upset only because I was excited to watch a two-part episode that I had found the first part, and I had watched the first part, and I needed to watch the second part. Now ask me why this was such a fun two-part episode.
Why was this such a two-part?
Do that again.
Why was that such a fun two-part episode?
It was a Magnum PI crossover.
Oh my god.
Eh? It was awesome.
Was she in Hawaii?
Yep.
What was she doing there? Was she soaking in the rays?
She was there for some sort of a book expo, and her friend needed her because her friend was in danger of getting murdered or something.
Mm-hmm. Classic.
Yeah. And they were treating Magnum P.I. like he was some dum-dum.
Oh, yeah.
Higgins was making him just out to be like this complete idiot.
What was Jessica Fletcher's nephew's name? Rusty or something?
No.
Reginald?
No, no.
It was probably Rusty.
It was not Rusty. It was something like Michael, or it was something normal. It
Michael was the Irish guy, the Irish spy that she was into.
Yeah. My also really good episodes of Murder, She Wrote, which is apparently this has become a Murder, She Wrote podcast, was when Jerry Orbach would guest star, and he mm-hmm. was like this private eye.
Yeah. He was always good.
Yeah.
He's on there a couple times. That's good.
Oh, God, what was, it wasn't like Fletcher. It was something like Brady. No. Yes.
Brady sounds right.
I think it's Brady. No, Grady. Not Brady. Grady. And he was accused of murder like four times.
Yeah.
And she had to keep bailing him out. Don't get close to socially to Jessica Fletcher, because odds are mm-hmm. you're going to go to jail. You're either going to get murdered or murder somebody
mm-hmm.
or be accused of murder.
Yeah.
One of those three
things.
You're
going to be in the murder picture, for
gonna,
sure.
Yeah, you're going to be someone. You're going to need a lawyer. So you wrote some jokes for Letterman.
Wrote some jokes.
And then you moved on to other TV shows. I know that you worked for True TV.
I did. I've done a fair number of things for True TV. I worked at World's Dumbest for
World's
a little
Dumbest,
bit.
Yes.
I worked at Greatest Ever, which is a more recent. Oh, and boy, there was one in the middle, too, whose name I forget. That's terrible. But yeah, I've worked at a couple different shows there. Yeah.
You're like an old hat TV writer.
They're always like not super long gigs, but.
So you worked for MTV doing a show called Binge Thinking, right?
That's true. My goodness. I feel like I'm on Inside the Actors Studio now.
I like to, I do some research.
Oh my God.
You know, this was all on Wikipedia, on the John Daly Wikipedia page.
I have tried to.
And then I realized it was the famous John Daly and not you.
There's actually two famous John Daly's.
I know it. I'm thinking of a third also, who's a cartoonist for the Wall Street Journal.
Damn.
Yeah, there's another John Daly who is a very talented editorial cartoonist.
Oh my gosh.
And he lives, I think, in like Boston, Massachusetts area.
Okay.
Very funny. Because he's done stuff. I have two different John Daly's on Weekly Humorist. But one's J-O-N and one's J-O-H-N.
I feel worse for him then, because the first famous John Daly was, of course, the alcoholic golfer.
Yes.
And he spells it J-O-H-N. He's been the bane of my existence since a youth. everyone's like, oh, he's an alcoholic golfer. Do you golf? That sort of stuff. So, yeah. So anyway, I feel bad for him.
Kids are mean.
Kids are mean. And those are like adults would do it too, though.
Yeah.
Everyone would. Everyone thinks they're clever. It's like the first time.
And then other John Daly is the comedian,
yeah.
Actor.
Yeah.
Who I didn't. He sort of all of a sudden exploded with being known. I felt like.
Yeah, he was on the Kroll Show.
Yeah.
Like before he was on the Kroll Show, I never heard of him.
Right, exactly. And then he went on the Kroll and everyone knew him. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh crap, there's even more famous John Daly's now.
Yeah. And I was in an improv class with another guy named John Daly. Like, that's not any of the three people we've mentioned
so far. Is that why
on
Twitter you're Jack Perday?
I was originally John Daly.
Okay.
I was originally John Daly.
You were at J-O-N-D-A-L-Y.
And then my Twitter, someone hacked into my Twitter or something, and they started posting these random Russian messages. This was years ago. This is before
Putin!
I know, right?
It's the bots.
Somebody started doing it, and like people had to mute me. Like people I know were muting me because it was like, well, I don't want this Russian gibberish in my feed.
Right.
And then I got onto the Twitter homepage, and I was like, Twitter, someone's doing this. I'm not Russian. I'm not posting these Russian messages. And they didn't reply, and they didn't reply. And eventually, like, I couldn't sign into my thing anymore.
You got locked.
I got locked out. And then I don't know, a short time after that, all of a sudden, Nick Kroll's John Daly has at John Daly.
Stole it from you.
I don't want to point any fingers.
And I bet he's verified.
I don't want to start any beefs, all right? He might, I mean, my theory of the crime, if I'm putting on my Jessica Fletcher sensible pantsuit, is that...
I'll put on my Columbo raincoat.
Yeah. I got one more question for you.
Just one more thing, sir. Just wear a very small thing. Your shoes have mud on them.
I think the Russians, some Russian guy hacked it and then got me locked out and then was like, hey, famous guy, do you want to buy this?
How much do you think he sold it for?
I bet it wasn't even that much, but it probably didn't cost the hacker guy anything, so it was all profit, right?
You could have sold it to him.
I could have. I would have sold it even cheaper.
It's okay that I'm also John Daly. I'll just change my name.
I'm like constantly living in fear, though, that because I also have jondaly@gmail.com.
Yeah.
So I'm always like, oh my God, what if someone hacks this and then does the same thing and sells it to the guy? Because I get emails for that guy all the time from like kind of famous people like Matt Walsh.
Oh, really?
They email me and I'm like, I email them back like, you got the wrong guy. And I think that they just like email like three or four email address John Daly's, like john.daly, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, oh, sorry, or whatever. But it's like, oh, man. Hey, Matt Walsh, you want to hang out sometime?
Yeah, you in New York? Let's get a drink.
Yeah.
I'm also funny and in the comedy world.
Mm-hmm. I watch Nick Kroll, so we're kind of the same.
I'm successful.
I'll come to your kid's birthday party, sure. But I don't want to lose my email, of course, because I've had that since college. I've had that.
Yeah.
For over a decade. So hopefully the people at Google are better.
Well, just make sure you have two-step verification.
I do. Yeah. I have that turned on now. Absolutely.
Though that actually makes me not want to like sign into anything on another computer. Because like actually verifying the two-step verification is time-consuming and stressful because I don't want to get locked out. I don't want to type in the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't remember my password. Everything's just saved. And I don't use other computers that aren't my computer at all. And then you do, and then you're like, oh, shit, I can't sign into this because I don't remember any of my passwords. I don't even want to attempt to do it because I don't want, like, a wrong attempt. And then it kind of locks you out and makes you, like, answer all these questions. And I don't remember the answer to any of my questions.
It's been too long.
It's very effective. The two-step verification is so effective, I can't sign into any of my own stuff. So I never sign out. And so what else are you working on now? Are there any TV jobs on the horizon?
There are. Excuse me. I know you told me to talk in the microphone.
It does help.
And I just broke commandment number one. Mm. I just got on for Cash Cab.
Oh, the new Cash Cab.
The new Cash Cab.
Is it still the same host?
I think so. I haven't actually started there. I started on Monday. But
this Monday?
This Monday.
They're going to drag your ass into New York City every day now?
Yep, exactly.
Oh, I feel... It's funny that... I guess you had to come into the city today anyway. So it wasn't like you were coming in just for me.
But mostly for you.
But maybe. Somewhat for me. But
you're the first stop here.
But this is your last week of freedom before you have to become a commuter again.
I know, right?
Where's the office for then?
I don't know. They emailed it to me. I'm going to look it up.
You haven't even looked. You're like, I don't know. Someplace.
It's somewhere. It's in, I'll say Manhattan, somewhere in lower Manhattan.
Who is the host? It was on the tip of my tongue.
They had the one guy, and then they had the lady. So I'm not sure.
Oh, I never saw it with the lady.
Yeah, there was a lady for a little bit.
I can't remember the guy's
I didn't
name.
Know I'd be quizzed. I should have done my homework.
And we're on Cash Cab! And then all these little lights go on.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting that I guess it's been a couple of years. People now are going to be... It's almost like he can be an Uber driver.
That's
like instead
true.
Of it being a cab... It's people actually going, maybe they're on like Lyft doing like an Uber pool or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden it's boom, it's a game show. Just kidding. You're not going to wherever. We're going to kidnap you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We could pitch that.
You could try that.
We could try it.
Is anybody else on the writing staff that you know?
I haven't actually asked around yet. Well, what do you want?
I don't know. It's like,
Brock, you know Brock.
Yeah, I know Brock.
Brock's definitely there, yeah.
Okay, well, that's good. You have some friends. It's good to have friends.
It's good to have friends, of course.
It's like the first day of a writing job like that. It's like it's like the first day of school.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how many writers do they usually have on a staff like that for a TV show like Cash Cab?
It really is different from show to show, but like...
Last time you did it. Were you like on the last one?
No. This is my first time at Cash Cab. Very excited. at binge thinking, it was just two people.
Okay.
So it's, I think this is like a shorter writing gig. So they might like have more people, like mm-hmm. more people for a shorter time than like a couple people for a longer
and
time.
And where does Cash Cab air?
Discovery, I believe.
Discovery, that's right. I watched it
it's
before.
Right next to Cozy TV.
I don't get Discovery on my free antenna. Dang. I'll tell you that much.
I think you could watch on the website.
I get Telemundo nice. On the free
Do you habla TV. Espanol?
I do not, so I really just watch it for fun.
Instead of like
I get PBS. I get Ion, which has Psych and Cozy, and I get the CW, so I can watch Riverdale.
Okay.
Do you watch Riverdale?
I haven't.
Oh man,
had the pleasure yet.
You're missing out, man. It's good.
I tell you what, I've been dragged into watching recently is RuPaul's Drag Race. I watched that now.
Is it good?
It's yeah. I'll say it's good. It's as good as any reality competition show. Sure.
So there, I don't know anything about RuPaul's Drag Race.
Season 10.
Is it a season 10?
Season 10. That's not counting the all-star seasons. They have three all-star seasons.
A season can't be a year.
No. Okay. I guess they use like the America's Next Top Model thing where maybe they call them cycles or something.
And it's like a fashion thing?
You know what? That's the weird part is that they design their own stuff.
Okay, so it has an element of Project Runway.
Project Runway. And okay. Then they also do like performances too.
So it's also like a little bit of karaoke?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, they do like lip syncing all the time.
Okay.
And then there's also, these other like longer form like skits and stuff that they all have to like compete in.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll check it out. What's it on?
VH1.
VH1.
And you can watch it on the VH1 app.
I'll watch it on the VH1 app because I can't watch it on television now. This might be like a process where I realize that I'm missing out on too many things. And this is what always happens. I say I'm going to cancel cable, and then I watch one channel for a while, and then I miss AMC, or I miss something, and then I get sucked back into mm-hmm. the world of cable.
I just realized it's on VH1. They have an app, but if you don't have a cable subscription, you can't watch it on the app.
But then you can borrow the information for your sister's
oh, absolutely.
Cable or your parents' cable.
For sure.
So right now I trade, I think I get HBO Go. I sign in to their HBO Go account using their cable. And then they get my Netflix, my Hulu, my Stars, and like it's a good deal for them.
I hope this room's not bugged because they are going to come down hard on you.
I don't know.
For password sharing.
I think so many people now use my Netflix account. I need to change my password because so many people have access to my Netflix account. And you can tell because the weirdest things pop up where
absolutely.
It says, because you watched this, now you can watch. I'm like, God, I didn't watch any of this stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, none of this stuff. Like, nothing I've watched is even on the recommendation, like, first or second page. I don't watch enough.
Well, they have different profiles, theoretically. I don't know how many profiles you can make, but...
You know what's really funny you should watch is L.A. to Vegas.
Oh, yeah?
It's so funny.
I don't even know what it is.
It's a television show on Fox about a airline called Jackpot Airlines, and they just fly from L.A. to Vegas every day. And it's kind of great. I didn't.
Is it a reality show?
No, it's a comedy. It's very okay. funny.
All right.
I highly recommend it. So John Daly's a big-time comedy writer. Thank you for coming
in. I've proven my bona fides at this point, if you don't believe it.
What's your comedy process? Because you also write daily jokes for the Weekly Humorous Twitter feed. And you usually toss over like three jokes a day that are of different topics that are either in the news or just completely random. And they're very funny. And conceptually, like I think today's were the one about product placement was very funny.
Oh, thank you.
And then the one about, what was the other one? What was the
MLK one that we passed over?
Yeah.
And then, there was another one too. You know what? My memory. I have so much paint.
You wrote
on
these
a daily
jokes.
Basis. I steal them from the top Twitter accounts. I go on Twitter and I see what things are trending.
Yeah.
And then I also go on Google news.google to see what is happening in the world. And it's always terribly depressing.
There's never any good news.
There's never any good news.
And then do you start out with like a bunch of ideas and then you pare it down? Or you're just sitting on the toilet and you're just writing jokes? Because that's what I think you're doing.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I didn't know that the toilet thing came through so much, but I'm glad it did.
Oh, this is the joke you wrote today that was so... Okay, so this is a great joke written by John Daly, who's my professional comedy writer for Weekly Humorist's Twitter. Bought the generic laundry pods today instead of the Tide Pods. Now my son refuses to eat them, even though they taste exactly the same. Hashtag parenting. It's a great joke.
Thank you. My parents used to buy generic stuff all the time, man.
This is also a great joke from yesterday. Spotify's IPO is a little unusual. To buy a single $132 share, you have to record and upload an original song and have people listen to it 20,000 times.
I actually did the math on that, too. I looked up how much people get for a single.
So these jokes are also technically correct.
That's where I just want to make sure my humor is... People can rely on it. You can use that, and if you're doing a research paper or something, feel free to cite my jokes.
It's the accuracy of these jokes that really makes them funny.
Mm-hmm.
Because everyone knows accurate humor is the best humor.
You know
humor.
What? It is actually... I think so. I mean, like, there has to be some bit of truth to it or whatever, like...
Product placement run amok. Doctors say my unborn child is now as big as a Mother's Day Swizzle bouquet by Edible Arrangements. Featured on TV, Mother's Day Swizzle bouquet, Edible Arrangements, $159. And then there's a great little... I didn't know that was actually a real thing when you sent that joke over, and then I Googled it to make the image. It's a real thing.
Yeah.
It looks delicious.
It looks so good. Well, that one, actually, do you want to know a secret, Marty?
I would love to know a secret.
You can't tell anyone.
I won't tell anybody. No one's going to listen to this.
I mean, people, I'm going to tell you this later, and it's eventually going to leak out. It's eventually going to leak out anyway.
Okay.
My wife is pregnant.
Really?
Really.
Did you just announce this on the podcast?
I did announce on the podcast.
Does anybody know about this?
Yeah. A lot of people know about it, and we're going to tell people. That's why she might be coming to the show later.
Oh.
Because we want to tell people at people there. So,
like close friends and family, other than the people that are going to listen to this podcast, like tomorrow when I put it up.
Right. So, like, her parents know. We told her family at Easter. My family knows.
Congratulations!
So, thank you so much.
This is amazing.
So... All right, my baby is my unborn child is as big as a peach right now.
Aww.
So, and then I was thinking about like, oh, I wonder if it's going to be as big as an apple. And then I was thinking like, is an apple bigger than a peach? And then I was thinking about how, well, like a Whole Foods apple is bigger than a peach probably, because a Whole Foods apple, have you seen them? They're huge.
You literally went down like a spiral.
I know, right? Like that's the process. You go down a spiral, and then where you end up is... Wow, I hope the doctor says your baby is as big as a Whole Foods apple. And it's like, well, is that... Yeah. So I went one step further with the edible arrangements.
You did. This is huge news.
I know. Thank you. We'll see. We'll see how it works out.
All right.
I'm making this talkward with you because you didn't know this. This is
talkward. You need to tell me an awkward story now.
Oh, yeah?
Do you have a good story?
I have... We'll see. We'll see if it's a good story. I'll tell you what I have, and then you can tell me if it was a good story or not.
All right. What do you got?
All right. So, it's my... Picture it. May 29th, 2017.
Picture it.
Sophia from Golden Girls.
Yep.
It's my wedding. My wedding. And me and my beautiful bride-to-be are having the ceremony upstate... In Phoenicia, outside of Phoenicia. I don't know if your listeners are familiar with Phoenicia. It's about 3 hours, a three-hour drive. And it's beautiful. It's like this resort sort of thing where there's like little cabins all around and all our guests are going to stay for the whole weekend or whatever. So we drive up and we're decorating like our own stuff. Like we've made our own like paper flowers. So we have to load up her car, her mom's car. We're loading up every car we possibly can with everything. Because we're all going to go up there and we're going to stay. And I got my tuxedo from an online... Have you ever used these mail order like tuxedo rental things?
I bought a tuxedo online before.
Okay. Did it fit?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like with men's tuxedos, they give us... They're almost like toddler pants where the sides have elastic on them.
Mm-hmm. They're yeah. They have those like slides with the clasp.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, they're unhemmed at the bottom, so you can just hem them up to where you want to be. All right. So with rentals, obviously, you can't do the hemming part.
Right.
So you give them... They're like, oh, just measure yourself at home. Give us some measurements, and then we'll send you the tux.
But also, you're a man of I would say that you're a clothes horse.
Oh, yeah?
Because every time there's any sort of a special event, you have the right outfit for that event. Like, it, you know, someone might get dressed up for the Kentucky Derby, but you would have, like, a seersucker thing and a hat and, you know, everything. Like, you would have the entire thing, the ensemble.
Thank you.
But it's not like you just went, you own it.
Yeah, that's
true. You know?
And you know what? I actually, subsequent to my wedding, I found a beautiful burgundy tuxedo that I now own. And it's great. I wore it on New Year's. I spent New Year's in Switzerland, and I wore it there.
Jet setter.
I know, right?
Jeez.
And it was a big hit. Everyone loved it. I wish I had it for my when I tried it on, because I got it from like Groupon for like whatever $50 or something. And then I wore it, and my wife's like, "This fits better than the suit you wore to our wedding." I'm like, oh man, I should have had it. Anyway, so I get this suit. I measure myself as best I can, which is like, I'm not a tailor. I don't know how to measure myself. No one knows how to measure anyone. I send them the measurements. They send the suit, and it's like, the jacket's weird. The shirt kind of fits, but it doesn't really. The pants are wonky or whatever. And then we're like, all right, we need this thing done to that and this thing. And they're actually accommodating. So they sent me a second jacket and a second whatever. And I try that stuff on, and it fits better. I'm like, great. Okay. So it comes time to pack up everything, head out. So I pack up everything. We pack up everything. And, like, my wife, my bride-to-be at that point, I feel like I'm the responsible one, and she's kind of like the scatterbrain one a little bit.
Really?
I think so. I know, right?
I don't get that from her.
Yeah, well, and, you know, if she was here, she'd probably say otherwise.
Yeah.
But take it from me.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I'm kind of like, make sure you got this. And it's, you know, it's chaos, too, because we're bringing all this stuff.
Yeah.
So we're like, okay, do we have a place? We have everything? We have everything? We have everything? Because there's no coming back. It's Memorial Day weekend. Right? So what happened? So we get in the thing. We go. And, like, we go up a week early to, like, hang out and, like, prepare things. Mm-hmm. Like, to finish prep. And, like, we get an Airbnb, and we're staying there. We're prepping. That's great. We go to the place eventually at the end of the week, the actual venue.
Mm-hmm.
And we're at the venue.
It's like cabins and stuff.
It's cabins and stuff, and that's great. So I'm in my cabin, and she's in her place, because, of course, the night before, we can't, you know, see each other or whatever.
It's like Salute Your Shorts.
It is, yes. It's it's exactly like that. I'm, salami, I'd say. No, I'm probably Butnick. Anyway, I'll just name Salute Your Shorts characters all day.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we're in cabins. I'm in one cabin. She's in like this big house with like all her bridesmaids, so she can.
You're like in some crap teepee, and she's in this like mansion across the water.
Yeah, she's in. Yeah. Well, she needs to have all her friends help her get ready, and I need what, like a shower. Right,
at least, and maybe at most.
I remember thinking like I left the toilet seat up in my cabin the night before.
They're gonna have, you know, Kevin's gonna hose you down with the hose out back.
So the night before, we have like this welcome barbecue for everyone that, like, if you're there the whole weekend or whatever, like, oh, come in, check in, we'll have this nice barbecue that doubles as our rehearsal dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And like, so I go and I unzip my suit bag that has my rehearsal dinner suit and my tuxedo, because I put them all together. Very smart.
Very smart.
Very smart. So I unzip it, and I get my rehearsal suit. Okay, there it is. And then I see my tuxedo jacket, which is there, and my tuxedo pants are not there.
Ooh.
They're nowhere in my stuff. I have no pants to get married in. And I've chosen this midnight blue tuxedo.
Of course.
Because I can't just get married in black.
Couldn't just wear a conveniently easy to replace pants black tuxedo.
No. So I have nothing. So
do you have the blue tuxedo jacket and a pair of black pants?
No.
What color was the rehearsal dinner suit?
Gray, I think. Gray.
Okay. Mm.
Uh-huh.
That's not going to work.
No. So I end up wearing...
It'd be funny if it was like, if you wore like a white suit for your rehearsal dinner.
I wanted to wear a white tux at my wedding, and she was not having it. But, yeah, so I was like, I do not know what to do. And like, my brain's like racing a mile a minute, because I don't have any pants. I got to get married in pants, right? Wouldn't it be crazy if I didn't get married in pants?
What did you wear?
Isn't that the... Well, all right, so here's... At the rehearsal dinner, I ended up wearing... I had, like, a nice-ish outfit, like a button-down with, like, khakis or something. I ended up going with that.
Okay, so then you went gray suit for the tuxedo?
So, at the rehearsal dinner, Kristen was, like, an hour late. So, like, the food was all ready, and no one was eating.
Did she know that you didn't have your tuxedo pants?
No,
you
didn't tell her at the rehearsal dinner.
Oh, okay.
Because I was like, my current plan is to go home with my brother, because my brother was in town from Indiana. We'll drive back to Long Island and back during the night. And that'll be 6 hours. And it's Memorial Day weekend. The wedding's actually on Memorial Day. So we'll be driving back from Long Island through the Bronx or whatever, all the way upstate through Memorial Day traffic. And maybe get back in time for the wedding.
Was there any local store that had tuxedos?
So she was like, for her credit, she was not... She didn't flip out. Mm. She was just like, she was, I don't think she had the, she couldn't process
it. And no one's going to be looking at you anyway. They're going to be looking at your wife. She's got the wedding dress. Everyone cares about what she's doing. You're just kind of there anyway, you know?
So, actually I got, she was like, you cannot drive. You will not make it back in time. Even if you leave now, you're not going to make it back.
Getting married with no pants on is still better than not showing up for your wedding.
That's true.
You know?
That's life advice you can take to the bank. So I took... I actually ended up going... There was a men's warehouse about an hour outside of this place. So Kevin...
You didn't like the way you look.
Friend of the show, Kevin McCaffrey, we went to the men's warehouse the morning of. And I brought the jacket, and they were able to match that friggin' jacket to like a midnight blue pair of pants. And they had it hemmed. And they were like, your jacket doesn't fit. Your jacket's an inch too long. So they hemmed the friggin' jacket, too.
But now you have to return the jacket.
They did, like, a loose thing that you could just pop.
But you're gonna have... But did you keep the pants?
I did. I still have the pants. I got the pants I was married in.
But you don't have a jacket to match.
Let's go back to the men's warehouse, baby! This episode of Talk Weird brought to you by the men's warehouse. They were... I mean, like, it was a literal commercial for them. Because, like, I'm getting married in 3 hours. I need a pair of pants. Go. And they did it.
You're going to like the way you look.
Yeah.
I guarantee it. Even if you're wearing midnight blue tuxedo pants.
I mean, and friggin' mad props to Kevin, right? Because he drove me... I didn't have a car there with me. He drove me an hour, got the thing, drove me back. We worked on the vows in the car.
Was he your best man?
Yeah.
That's a best man job.
Total class act.
You got to call in the best man favor.
Yeah.
You know? Most best men kind of do. They give a little dopey speech, and that's pretty much all they have to do. He actually had to accommodate you. He had to solve some problems.
Yeah.
That's a fun thing for a best man to have to do.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure... I mean, it was incredibly stressful.
He had some shit to figure out.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, man, it was definitely...
Were you all hungover from the rehearsal dinner, too?
No, that's like one thing where it's like, I didn't get... Actually, I still had a fair bit to drink, actually, but I wasn't hungover. That's good. Didn't get that drunk.
That's good. Because problem-solving hungover is never a good deal. It does not work. Well, that's marvelous. So now you have your tuxedo pants that I'm sure are very comfortable, and you can wear them around the house.
Yeah, for sure. When I'm riding from home with my dog.
On every anniversary now, you get to wear tuxedo pants.
I know. It's coming up, my anniversary.
Yeah, Memorial Day.
Yeah.
Did you get married on Memorial Day so you just would never forget your anniversary? It's very
easy. Memorial Day moves, right? So I don't know if we... Because that's also the day we got our first date was Memorial Day.
Oh, I did not know that. Yeah. Cute.
I know. So I don't know if it's if we're going to celebrate on Memorial Day, if we're going to celebrate on the 29th, which was the date it was actually.
That does make it very tricky. It actually makes it easier for you to screw up your anniversary.
Yes.
Because you have to always be like, it's on Memorial Day.
Yeah. I'm sure Memorial Day will be fine.
You'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Well, this has been fun.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming in. Fun. Thanks for dragging your ass out of Long Island.
Oh, Marty, it's been a pleasure. Do you do phone-ins? Do you do phone-ins? Or... No, I wouldn't replace this for anything. I have to come down and look at you square in the eye.
Absolutely. And soon you're going to be in here writing for the cash cab.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to be writing hilarious trivia questions.
Yeah, that's the idea. Yeah. I mean, if not hilarious, then thought-provoking.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe you could change some people's minds out there.
Yeah.
About the cash cab.
So tune in, guys.
Yeah, tune in to the cash cab. When does that launch?
I have no idea.
At some point in the future.
Right. I mean, we got to write the questions, and then they got to film it.
And then they got to find that car with all the wacky lights.
Yeah. I mean, they don't even make those that much anymore.
And then they got to kidnap unsuspecting tourists who think they're going to Penn Station, but they're not.
They're not.
They're just getting driven around in a circle by some stranger who's going to make them answer questions.
They just go, they take them to Newark and they drop them off at a random terminal. Good
luck.
This is the
all-new extreme cash cab where they pick you up and then they dump you in the middle of New Jersey and you have to find your way back.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're going to, I don't know, kidnap your small chihuahua or your shih tzu.
Or you just, like, I guess you die on the way home. Like, you either make it back or you start a new life.
That'd be more like a Japanese game show where, like, the stakes are very high.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we've picked you up in the cab to win prizes. You're like, yay! We're going to kill your whole family if you don't get this question right.
Gosh. That is
like,
extreme.
Oh. On that note. So people can follow you on Twitter at Jack Perday.
Jack Perday. JACKPERDAY.
Which is your pseudonym because John Daly stole... presumably your Twitter name using...
I think for legal reasons we can't say stole, but...
Using Russian bot technology. They destroyed your social media presence.
Mm-hmm.
And are you Jack Perday on Instagram too? Like, did you stick with that persona?
I like... You know what? I actually came up with that name. It's because John is Jack and then Daily is Perday, so Jack Perday.
Oh, I never really dissected why you did that.
Hidden. I used to have it as like a, if I ever die, if I might fake my own death, and then like I would tell people, if you ever get a postcard from Jack Perday, you'll know.
That's a much deeper Talkward story, I think.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, maybe we'll save that for next time.
Sure.
We talk all about John Daly faking his own death. Coming up next time on well, cool. All right. Well, this was fun. I'm Marty Dundix, editor-in-chief of Weekly Humorous Magazine. Please check us out at weeklyhumorous.com. Sign up for our weekly e-newsletter and listen to this podcast and other podcasts, like the Weekly Humorous Radio News that comes out every Monday.
With the very handsome Don Brinkley.
Don Brinkley reporting.
Check out, you could get lost in that dimple.
Right? Talkward is distributed by Humorist Media. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.